It's Thursday, January 5th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast.
I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians made an announcement on Wednesday. They've signed four players to minor league contracts with invitations to Major League Spring Training Camp. Probably the most notable and the most recognizable name, Touki Toussaint, a right-hander. He's got starting experience. He's pitched out of the bullpen as well. Notably, a first-round draft pick of the Diamondbacks was involved in a trade to Atlanta. Really sort of blossomed in Atlanta's farm system. Made a few appearances for the Braves, but they sort of gave up on him, and I believe he was DFA'd last year. So Toussaint is a guy who's going to provide depth, I guess, at AAA. At some point in the season, we might see him up at the major league club.
Yeah, Joe, he's started. He's relieved. You know, he's most recently made six starts in Mexico in winter ball. So you know he's going to, you know, this could be, you know, one of those make or break seasons for this guy. So he's going to come to camp in good shape, you would think. Kind of a, you know, four pitch guy. You know, it looks like, I don't know, Joe, I think he could probably help out in the bullpen, or if they need a spot start somewhere, if they doubleheaders mount up like they did last year, this is a guy that could get a call.
Yeah, that's the Connor Pilkington role, is the start the second game of a doubleheader guy, always on the ready to be called up. I guess just digging in a little bit on Toussaint, you know, I read somewhere that he's a strikeout guy. He strikes out a lot of guys, but like you said, he doesn't necessarily throw super hard. He early in his career, he relied a lot on his curveball. He had some coaches tell him, you know, maybe to back off of that, and that helped improve his changeup, his fastball changeup combination. So you know, maybe there's some tinkering that can be done at the AAA level. Or working with Carl Willis and the coaches at spring training, just to sort of you know, get him on the right path. The Guardians pitching factory, you know, doesn't turn anybody away. They welcome all comers. So Touki Toussaint, maybe he can you know, reinvigorate his career and get himself into a position where you know, he can, you know, be attractive to another club after this year, or maybe he can contribute and make himself an essential part of either the bullpen, or like you said, with a spot start here or there in the rotation. The other guys that were announced as spring training invitees signed to minor league deals: outfielder Roman Quinn, who has some experience with the Rays, the Royals. He's been up and played against the Guardians. Cam Gallagher, a guy who was the backup catcher in Kansas City for several seasons, and has played against Cleveland on many occasions. And Michael Kelly, a guy who's you know, pitched a couple of games for the Phillies last year out of the bullpen after 11 seasons in the minor leagues, bouncing around. So you know, he's definitely got an interesting story to tell in spring training. I guess you know, Roman Quinn provides you know, the speed out there. He's a speedy outfielder, can make plays, can run around the bases, but his contact rate might be questionable.
He's played in 222 big league games, decent 771 OPS. But yeah, I think he's, you know, maybe a fifth, sixth outfielder type depth guy. And, you know, he adds some speed, like you were saying, Joe. I think a 234 career batting average in the big leagues. So, you know, the guy that I guess you got to take a look at, you know, last year, if you remember, you know, they Cleveland hardly brought any non-roster guys into camp. I think Aniel De Los Santos may have been one of the few guys. So this year, these four guys, and they've already signed a couple other guys. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they mix in with that, you know, that young roster.
Yeah, no surprise in seeing a catcher like a Cam Gallagher being brought in. They need catchers for when pitchers and catchers report. A guy like Cam Gallagher will just sort of fill out the roster there. If the pitchers are pitching, somebody's got to be catching, right?
Yeah, that's the fastest way to get to big league camp. You know, if you want to get there is on the fast track, be a catcher, because, you know, everybody brings, what, 20, 30 pitchers into camp, and they need them. They need catchers to catch the bullpens early in spring training.
Michael Kelly is one of these guys. He's just sort of a veteran guy who doesn't have a lot of big league experience, but he's going to be wearing a ring when he comes to camp, because, you know, he pitched four games for the Phillies, so he gets a share.
Yeah, that's good. You know, National League champ. So you got, you know, if you work as long as he does, has in the minors, you know, you deserve a little taste of that. So good for him.
Yeah. So those are the four guys: Toussaint, Quinn, Gallagher, and Kelly. All will be in spring training with the Guardians. Like you said, maybe they're starting to open up a little bit more with a few more veteran minor leaguers being invited, just because, you know, last year they did get a look at so many of those rookies that it's a change from their philosophy from last year.
Yeah, and it's I'm sorry, Joe, but there's maybe this is an indication of the WBC too. You know, a lot of their players, their frontline players, I think are going to be involved or could be involved in the WBC and miss, you know, what, 10 to 12 days of camp. So they need somebody to fill out the rosters as well.
Well, interesting. If you look at that, then you've got an outfielder and a catcher. You know, maybe they're anticipating losing an outfielder or two and maybe a catcher like a Bo Naylor to Canada or something like that. So gotta keep that all in mind when they're moving forward. All right. Also, yesterday we found out right after we had talked on Tuesday about some of the players who will be at Guards Fest later on this month. We find out that Terry Francona, Carl Willis, and Chris Vallejo will all be there. I'm sure plenty of folks are excited that Tito will be there, because can you think of a more beloved figure right now among the Guardians and among you know, just Cleveland sports fans? The warm feelings must be flowing towards Tito after the job he did last season.
Yeah, I mean, Tito, you know, would be the last one to say anything, but he and his scooter could probably walk on water or buzz, go across Lake Erie and never get wet right now with his standing in the community and what he's done over the last 10 years. I mean, this guy, you know, everyone said he was a Hall of Fame manager when he came here, and he certainly hasn't done anything to diminish that talk.
I still think one of the best stories, one of the funniest stories of the later part of the season last year was when Tito was riding his scooter after the big walk-off home run hit by Oscar Gonzalez in the first game of the wild card series against Tampa Bay. Tito's coming out of the gate there in near the parking garage at Progressive Field, and fans are all lined up, and the lady calls to him on you see it on the video. She's calling to him, and he looks over and he thinks that she's going to flash him. And she just has a t-shirt on that says, you know, something about, you know, Tito and how much she loves, you know, him and, you know, the whole relationship there. It was just really funny to hear Tito describe what he was anticipating seeing when that girl pulled up her shirt. And it turned into a really funny story because the video went viral. So, you know, just you never know what you're going to get with Tito. So that's what makes Guards Fest, you know, such a great time. You know, something's going to happen. Something's going to be funny and surprising. And it's because, you know, Tito's just that kind of personality. And, you know, we just look forward to covering him on a daily basis because of that.
Yeah. You know, Joe, there's so many young managers in the game now, or you know, and they're so buttoned down, and they're so, it seems like they're afraid to really kind of, you know, say anything, go out, wander too far outside the box. But with Tito, at the strangest time, there's no filter. You know, he just tells you stuff, and it's just, you know, you sit there and wonder, how did we get to this point? But it's always a blast to listen to him.
Yeah. All right. So looking forward to Guards Fest, looking forward to being back around the players and the managers on January 21st. Get your tickets if you don't already have them, and show up for a good time. All right, Hoynsie, the last, 10 minutes of the show today, we had sort of carved away a spot to talk about sports betting in Ohio, legalized sports gambling now. After January 1st, the law went into effect that essentially said that you could bet on sports. All of these mobile betting apps were legal now in Ohio. It was legal to have sports books and betting kiosks and all sorts of ways to connect with gamblers and fans. It tore down all the traditional barriers that we had in our heads and our minds about the connection to sports gambling and covering these teams and seeing this. How is it going to change things, not only for the fans who are out there placing these bets and seeing this content through baseball games on a daily basis during the season, but for us, the guys that cover the team and are close to Tito and the players and the clubhouse, how are things going to change for us when gambling content is now a huge part of what we're providing to our consumers and fans and readers?
Yeah, Joe, it's, kind of uncharted territory for us, for members of the media. I guess a lot of our we're going to get a lot more friends, maybe, kind of rubbing up against us, wondering who has a sore arm, who has a sore knee, what's the rotation look like for the upcoming series against the Yankees? I don't know. It's really interesting. My kids were over for New Year's Day, and they were always, we were watching some bowl games, and they were already talking about it. They were already saying they were getting, free bets. You start with $100 and you can go from there. And it's just, my head was spinning when I came, when the day ended.
Yeah, well, $100 doesn't last very long, especially on any of these new apps that are out there that are offering these enticements to come and use their services. But I guess off the top, it's this question of integrity. If you've got a sports book in the arena, the Cavaliers opened up Caesar's Sportsbook in their arena. You can go at halftime of a game, you can go and bet on the result of that game that you're sitting there watching from your seats. And that's not the only sports book that's going to be. The Browns and Guardians are going to open sports books in their arenas, in their stadiums, before all is said and done. This is going to happen because you can't, you're not just going to have one. It's going to be the Bengals already opened theirs. It's their next play, their first playoff game is going to have live legal betting in the stadium, which is, it's just a crazy thought. 10, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have even dreamed of having something like this, but now it's a reality. From my perspective, I'm sitting here and every pregame show that you watch, every, Sports Center or, the fantasy shows that they put on, they involve some aspect of, some money lines, gambling, odds, point spreads, all of that. And now you're talking about the individual players and the prop bets that you can put on each one. This really is, we're being inundated with this information, and it's really kind of overwhelming.
Yeah, it is just amazing to me, Joe. And, I don't bet. And it's just, but I guess you know, it's just really kind of it's mind boggling to me. You know, I go back to, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, when gambling in baseball, especially, it was forbidden for so long, you know, the Black Sox scandal, Pete Rose, all those cases where there had been gambling and shade, you know, game fixing. And when you talk about gambling, legalized gambling, that's what pops into my mind. So I've got to switch gears here and I guess, you know, look forward instead of backwards. But the thing that interests me, Joe, and maybe you could explain this to me a little bit, are prop bets. What exactly are those?
I mean, basically, whatever the service or the sports book or the app that you're using wants to make a bettable result from each game to game, you can do that. You can go in and during a game bet on which team is going to score the next run or which player is going to hit the next home run or, you know, will a pitcher give up a home run? Micro bets is this trend, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, especially with the proliferation of things like DraftKings and FanDuel, BetMGM, all these different apps that are available, and each app provides a different way for you to sort of collect and play and spend lose your money, basically. So like you, I don't bet simply because of that. I might as well just light my money on fire if I'm gonna you know, use it to gamble. I have zero interest in it, and it's going to be different. It's going to be weird. You talk about the baseball's history with gambling, and it's sort of a dark one. It's sort of a nasty sort of situation. The ironic thing is, I saw a picture down at that sports book in Cincinnati that opened at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve. Pete Rose placed the first bet at that sports book. He bet on the Reds to win the World Series in 2023, which is just it's ironic. This is the reason why Pete Rose is Pete Rose, isn't it? He was betting on baseball, and now he's doing it legally in Ohio.
I think if Pete Rose, when he got, you know, suspended on the ineligible list, if he had told the truth, you know, when, you know, in, you know, in the, you know, right after that, if he had said what he should have said and didn't wait 40 years for it, he probably would have been MLB would have excused him. Now that MLB's in bed with betting, I don't see it happening now. But geez, oh man, you're right, the landscape, it has just changed tremendously. It's just crazy to me. You know, and the prop bets that you mentioned, you know, it brought me back to the movie The Natural. You know, mm-hmm. And do you remember like the scene where Darren McGavin was the gambler? You know, mm-hmm. he was telling Roy Hobbs, you know, there's been games where he bet on three different pitches, you know, in an at bat, would they be a ball or a strike? And, you know, and that kind of just jumped out at me, that scene from the movie, and that's become a reality. That's become legal now.
Yeah, that's sort of what it is. I once bet on three pitched balls. He said yeah. That was, you know, it's a good point you bring up there. And really sort of, it circles back to, you know, at least with us, the integrity aspect. You know, we are, you know, what's the rules right now? We're not even 100% sure, as BBWAA voters, guys who vote on who gets into the Hall of Fame, guys who vote on the yearly awards, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year. Those are all things that are bettable. Those are all things that you can place wagers on with odds at the beginning of a season. And, you know, we're the guys who eventually determine who wins those things. You know, what's our stake in something like that? And how could I don't want to be, you know, going out there and betting on things and, you know, find out that I could become ineligible in the association just because I you know, that's a conflict and an integrity issue. I would steer clear of it on my own just because of that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And I guess the BBWA, I don't know if, you know, I've read some of the bylaws, but I have never read bylaws about gambling, you know, for BBWA members. So I guess, you know, we'll have to address that, you know, in this year and see what the stakes are. And, you know, I know MLB personnel, you know, and players can't bet on baseball, obviously. And I'm not even sure if they can bet on, you know, other sports. You know, can they bet on, can you bet on basketball or football or college football? I'm not sure they can or they can't. That's something we should explore.
Yeah, and this goes beyond, you know, betting on like point spreadsheets or anything like that during a football season where everybody throws in the money and the, you know, the house doesn't get a cut. It's a pool or something like that among friends and the. We've seen stuff like that happen, and that's completely different than working with a sports book or, you know, going to or using any of these apps or anything like that. So it's just it really is a big change, and it's sort of uncharted territory. And as we go forward, and like you said, I like your take on that. You know, looking back, it's not going to change back to what it was. You know, those days are gone, and you've got to look forward and see how this is going to move forward as a part of what we do now. You know, you already see it in our content. Pretty much every one of our stories that we post includes links to some sort of you know gambling advertising or marketing strategy or whatever is their partners with the site that we write for. So you know, it's not going anywhere, I guess, is a big point. And you know, just looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing how things change. This baseball season going to be an interesting one, and the advent of legalized sports betting in Ohio is already making changes for us as we go forward.
Yeah, you know, it was one thing that really caught my interest, Joe, is novelty prop bets. you know, I guess, and this is only for like the big games, like the Super Bowl, and I guess maybe the World Series and stuff. And, you know, people can bet on how long the national anthem will take, you know, who wins the coin toss, you know, what colors jerseys will, or what color, will, you know, the coaches be wearing, what color t-shirts will the coaches be wearing on the sidelines? That just knocks me out, man. It's all encompassing.
You can bet on the color of the Gatorade that will be dumped on the head of the Super Bowl winning coach. That's always an interesting one to me. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We will be back next week, with another, couple of shows, and we will look forward to seeing if anybody else gets announced for Guards Fest or if anybody else gets invited to spring training. And we'll talk to you guys then.